over the last several years, and I've had some extraordinary experiences that have changed my view of reality and changed my outlook on my own life as well.
Well, there is something that has always kind of perplexed me as I want to try to move into a biblical area, if you don't mind. In the Bible, supposedly the Israelites, while they were wandering in the desert for all those many 40 years, they only form a subsistence that they had was supposedly this stuff called manna, or orme, I believe as the Hebrew call it, or translated, what is it? Have you ever been able to decide what this substance is? Does it exist today? Could it possibly be this monatomic white gold that we hear about?
You know, I don't really have a strong view on manna. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness of Sinai after the departure from Egypt, some very extraordinary things took place, or at least so we are assured in the book of Exodus and right. other books of the Old Testament that cover this period. Where I developed an interest in this period specifically concerns the Ark of the Covenant. I've written a whole book about the Ark of the Covenant, the sign and the seal. And I had to explore the early origins of the Ark of the Covenant. And I do trace those origins back, although I accept that some Christian listeners might not agree with me on this. I do trace those origins back to ancient Egypt and to the high magic and science of ancient Egypt. And the reason I trace them back there is to do with the figure of Moses. Moses led the Israelites through Sinai, but Moses was also brought up in the household of the Pharaoh and groomed to be a future Pharaoh himself. This means that he would have been given access to the secrets of all of the ancient magic and wisdom of Egypt. I think those secrets explain the extraordinary powers of the Ark of the Covenant and its ability to right. strike people dead with bolts of fiery energy. And I suggest that that knowledge rooted in the past of ancient Egypt also explains the mystery of manna, that we're dealing with a kind of lost technology here.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to kind of intermingle some questions from the AboveTopSecret.com membership in addition to our own things, just kind of get some member questions in here. And this one, Graham, is from a member by the name of Space Visitor, who has seen your video, The Secret of the Pyramids, and he says he was very, very impressed with it and was really enthralled with it. His question basically deals with the curse of the Pharaoh. Space Visitor says that the poison taken from the hair spines of whatever the cactus name is. Poison lasts for 1,000 years. The pharaohs knew their graves would be robbed. They put their hairs on their body wraps, et cetera, et cetera. His question is there any way to authenticate, especially when you're talking about going to King Tut's tomb and all the things that have been found in the pyramids, is there anything to substantiate the curse of the pharaohs?
Well, I personally don't think that it has anything to do with a long-lasting poison. But I think we have to understand that the ancient Egyptians were a most extraordinary civilization, really very unusual. They maintained a peaceful and harmonious prosperity for more than 3,000 years. During that whole time, they devoted their best minds to exploring the mystery of life after death. The tombs that were created for deceased individuals were seen as the homes for a particular aspect of the deceased individual's soul. The soul in the ancient Egyptian system was a very complex entity, but one part of it remained in the tomb. And to desecrate the tomb was to bring down on yourself an attack effectively from this ghostly spirit of the entity buried in that tomb. This is what the ancient Egyptians believed. And they knew a whole lot more about what they were talking about in these matters than we do, because we don't devote our best minds to considering mysteries like that.
Right.
We devote our best minds to making, you know, new products to sell in the supermarket.
There is another member by the name of Luis9343 who says, you present great similarities about ET encounters and the supernatural state obtained by consuming hallucinogens. sometimes masses of people see UFOs. So do you then contend that they all enter a hallucinatory state at the same time?
Very good question. And of course, I do have an answer to that question.
I hope so, because we're
glad to hear
what
that.
What I'm talking about in my book is altered states of consciousness, however those altered states are produced. That an altered state of consciousness is necessary in order to see supernatural realms and beings, to have contact with them. And one of the efficient ways of getting into an altered state of consciousness is via hallucinogenic plants, as shamanic cultures have done for thousands of years. But there are other ways to get into altered states of consciousness. And magnetic fields are particularly powerful producers of altered states of consciousness. Michael Persinger at the Laurentian University in Canada is producing profound altered states of consciousness by beaming powerful electromagnetic fields at the heads of his volunteers. And the moment the field hits their brains, they start to see visions and to see small beings standing around them. And that's what I'm suggesting happens when large groups of people all see the same the same object, which is that they are all affected by an electromagnetic field, which affects their consciousness, effectively retunes their consciousness, and allows them to see that which is not normally visible. The miracle of Fatima in Portugal, right, when 70,000 people, as well as an encounter with the Virgin Mary, saw what absolutely sounds like a flying saucer. Right. Moving through the heavens. I would suggest that all of those people were in a deeply altered state at that point. And that doesn't mean that what they were saying was not real. I'm not saying that what was seen is an illusion. I'm saying it is real, but that it isn't normally accessible to our senses. We have to alter our state of consciousness in order to make it accessible to our senses.
Right. Well, for some 25-plus years, off and on, I have been a amateur UFO researcher, and I've gone to a number of different spots where, between photography, film, and also video cameras, I have captured some unusual things that were in the air. Now, would that still fall under the same category, or am I actually seeing a real phenomena, or is it just
my... This is where it really gets extremely interesting. The great psychologist Jung wrote a book about flying saucers, and he talked about this very mystery, the mystery of the flying saucer. It's this, that it has largely psychic characteristics, but that it appears sometimes to materialize within our dimension. He actually referred to flying saucers as materialized psychisms for this reason, that occasionally they will actually leave a trace on a camera film or on a radar screen, that people who are abducted by these beings sometimes find objects stuck under their skin which come back with them into this world. Yeah. I think flying saucers, the UFOs, are absolutely real. I just don't think that it's as simple as these things coming across huge distances of interstellar space to explore our planet.
Right.
I think it's much more likely to be some kind of interdimensional technology. We, on this planet, are able to explore other dimensions by altering our state of consciousness. It may be that beings in other dimensions have found a technology to actually break through physically into our realm.
Right, yeah.
And do so from time to time. But my own strong intuition is that it's a much more complicated and a much darker mystery than just beings like us who happen to be from other planets far, far away. I think there's a lot to suggest that we're looking at interdimensional contact here.
I've always considered this. You know, here we are, mere humans, and we will send out into space probes like the Surveyor to orbit the moon or to go to Mars. I've always been curious if there might be a multidimensional race or entities that are doing the same, that have found a way to be able to send their probes into our dimension, and that is perhaps what it is that we see and photograph.
That's what I'd put my money on, personally. That's what's going on here, that there's a range of technologies for jumping between dimensions. We on planet Earth have not yet developed a physical technology to do that, but we can shift our consciousness. We can project our consciousness into other dimensions, but we can't send a machine into other dimensions.
Yeah.
It may be that the inhabitants of other dimensions are able to send their machines into ours. And in fact, I go into this at great length in my book, Supernatural.